Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me as always is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
The hell are you wearing?
I got the best birthday card of life from Joel's dad, which was the official Monsters U scarer kit. So these are my scary Scully glasses.
Did you see it?
No, I haven't seen it yet. Oh. But I told them that I would wear them on the show because I love them. And now I'm official scarer.
I don't have any funky glasses to wear.
Yeah, that's it. I've done my part.
Did you take them off?
I did.
Because I think you have to wear them for the entire show.
Oh, man, but they're so hot. It's so hot in our apartment right now.
You promised him. He's going to be so upset.
I wore them on the show, and I was adorkable. So I think I've done my part.
Yep. We made the word up.
That just happened.
that word must have been existing before today.
I'm sure it did. I've definitely used it before. So what's new with you, Ryan?
Not a whole
lot. Anything fantastical? Nothing as cool as my Scully glasses?
I have normal glasses. It's kind of depressing now that you point it out.
Yep. I know. Well, we're actually going to flip the show on its head this week because our kind of topic is just all the games that we've been playing. So we kind of smooshed it all into one thing, which means we are going to plug Doghouse right now. I know what is going on. And just say that Ryan and I really appreciate your continued support of our show, along with the support of our sponsor, Doghouse Systems. You can use the code THEGAMERSIN to double your RAM when you purchase a new gaming rig. 4 becomes 8, 8 becomes 16, 16 does not become 32, though, because that would be insane. So head on over to DoghouseSystems.com and get your order on. Which brings us to Quickfire News! Oh my god, it's so early!
Oh no, I've lost time, I blacked out. Xbox One will have self-publishing. Microsoft made another loud policy announcement this week, solving many indies' issues with the new platform. Sony made a big deal about their indie program at E3 with self-publishing, and Microsoft kept quiet on the matter until 1 month later. Going one step further, the Big M stated that every Xbox One could be used as a dev kit. This is very exciting news, as it puts the console on par with how people develop on iOS or Android devices. Microsoft even said they would model their approval process after the iTunes/Google Play Store.
Activision bought themselves. While we were all sleeping, the folks over at Activision Blizzard were very, very busy. They have worked out a deal with parent company Vivendi Universal to buy themselves back for $8.2 billion. This makes Activision an independent company again, with the majority of their shares owned by the public. Vivendi is not completely out, though, as they still own about 12% of the company. This comes in the wake of the news that WoW subscribers are leveling out, with losses slowing as the company approaches the 7 million monthly subscribers mark.
Activision does a lot of things while we sleep, Jocelyn.
I know.
this is the least of our worries. Speaking of worries, a Gran Turismo movie has been confirmed. Not to be outdone by EA and their Need for Speed movie, Sony will be working with many high-level producers to get the car sim game made into a movie. Producers from The Social Network and 50 Shades of Grey, not sure what those have to do with cars, are on board, and Sony Pictures executives will be in charge. Now all we need is them to cast Walter White to further one-up EA. Boom! He doesn't say that in the show. That's the other guy. He doesn't say boom. He says a bad word.
Zynga is hemorrhaging all the things. Money, users, you name it. With their Q2 financials released this past week, Zynga announced a $15.8 million loss. Revenue was down 31% when compared with this time last year. Zynga also lost a ton of users. This time last year, the company had 72 million monthly users, and this year they're down 45% to only 39 million.
That's more like a 40,000% jump or drop.
Even so, new CEO Don Matrick insists that Zynga is on their way back up, even though all evidence points otherwise.
You gotta go down to go up. Nobody says that.
Nobody says that.
Don Matrick says that. Nintendo's stock sees 2-year high. Positive Nintendo news until next week. And it's all thanks to the lovingly addictive, screw you Tom Nook, I'll pay you when I'm damn well ready, and surprisingly fun Animal Crossing New Leaf. stock closed at $141 per share, and alongside thanking New Leaf, speculation that China might soon lift its ban on handheld consoles was also a factor. They banned handheld consoles?
Yeah, who does that?
What? It's like game, I don't know. Whatever. Now, if only Nintendo could duplicate this success on the Wii U.
No one is buying Ouya games. 73% of Ouya users have never actually purchased a game and are instead taking advantage of the free demos available through the console. In spite of this, Ouya CEO Julie Ehrman insists that the console is doing well. Ehrman states that plenty of mobile and social game developers would kill for an 8% upgrade rate, which is what 13 of the top 20 games on the console boast. However, Towerfall developer Matt Thorson revealed his game only made him $21,000 so far, in spite of consistently sitting at the top of the Ouya charts. I would imagine it's hard to attract developers with those kind of numbers. Which brings us to our slash loot section, yay! Which brings us to our contest announcement. So, as you might have noticed last week or the week before, Brian and I were both wearing our awesome Gamers Inn shirts, which look just like this. Whoa, wait. Oh, the stupid backwards cameras. This is our Gamers Inn shirt. It's not my Gamers Inn shirt, but it's a Gamers Inn shirt. Oh, now I'm all blown out. So, if you buy a Gamers Inn shirt from slashloot.com between now and, I'm going to say August 9th, which I totally was going to check with Ryan, but then I totally forgot. We figured we'd give you a couple weeks because this is the first time that we've actually announced the contest.
We're doing a concert?
Benefit concert.
I'm not singing.
Will you dress up, though?
It wouldn't be a benefit to anybody if I sang.
So we are going to be putting everyone who buys a TGI shirt into a draw for a copy of Tomb Raider. So head on over to Slash Loot, pick up a Gamers Inn shirt, and you'll automatically be entered in to win a copy of Tomb Raider, which we are going to give away on August 9th, which means you have to get your purchases in probably by about the 7th. Right. So plan on that, peoples.
Prior purchases, you mentioned that. Those all count.
Oh, and Sales Geek in the chat room is saying August 9th. That's crazy talk. I'm sorry, dude. I really hope we can still work this because I totally didn't talk to him about it either, but I'm sure it's fine. It's fine. If it's not, I'll totally tell you guys on Twitter. You should follow me on Twitter. That's where I redact all my mistakes.
Oh my God, it's the end of July. I was like, why is she freaking out about August 9th? That's so far away. And then I look at the calendar. It's the end of July.
2 weeks from now. 2 weeks from now.
I need a brown paper bag.
I know.
Here, wait.
I'm freaking out a little bit too. No, wait, that's plastic, Ryan.
It doesn't matter. It's
plastic on the face that you're not supposed to
that
do.
That smells weird.
See?
Oof. It smells like Utah in there.
I was going to say. Oh, man, which brings us
nice
to our
bag.
Topic of the
Thanks.
Week, which is what we've been playing. So, for those of you who haven't checked out the YouTube channel lately, last weekend, Ryan and I, along with Joel, streamed Defiance. Mm-hmm. So, what were your initial impressions of Defiance? Good, bad, ugly?
Well, I hated it. Remember when I first played it, like, a long time ago?
I was not a fan when I very first got into it. For the first, like, half an hour, I was just like, ugh. But
My opinion changed when I was actually playing with other people, with you guys, and playing, like, to have fun as opposed to playing to check it out, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. Like, when I first started playing it a couple months ago, it was kind of like another MMO. Okay, here's the starting area. Shooty, shooty. You know, I'd rather play something else.
Shooty, shooty.
Well, I mean, you know, that's how I roll. But when we were playing last Saturday, and I highly recommend if anyone's going to try this game to play it with a group. And there were beers involved, I'm sure. I heard clinking.
There were quite a few beers involved.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Yeah. And the story's ridiculous. It's hard to follow. But we kept saying, I kind of think we should watch the TV show. But
every story I find in any MMO I've ever jumped into is always like, well, wait, what is going on? I feel like MMOs get so bogged down with the whole massive thing that they don't stop for a second and try to figure out how they're actually going to tell the story that they want to tell.
Right.
So that was my, like, it wasn't my biggest problem. My biggest problem with it was the interface.
Oh.
And those freaking menus, they're like, there's like cancel, there's a, four buttons across the bottom, and it's like accept, cancel, exit, next, or, you know, some weird jumble of nothing is where you think it's going to be. It's like, cancel all changes is where you think, like, accept all changes would be. And it's just, it took me the entire time we were playing, which we probably played about, what, we streamed 2 hours worth. Yeah. I think Joel and I played for about an hour before that. So 3 hours in, and I was still doing that, where I'd make all my changes and pick all my upgrades and then hit the cancel button. And God damn it.
You mentioned user interface, and I'm instantly reminded of how we thought we were doing the main quest for an hour, and it turns out we were just running around doing side quests. Like, the way the quest system works is so disjointed, in the sense that there's no quest list. It's all just hubs. And we would enter, like, oh, there's guys attacking us, find the medics, tag the beacon coolers, yeah. Okay. And we just do it and think, like, oh, we did it, we got experience. It was fun, mm-hmm. but we were more interested in, like, continuing the story. And then finally we opened our map, and it's like, oh,
the main quest is up here, and you're down here. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was definitely a little bit janky. What I found was the most janky, it kind of feels like they... we should probably start, we should have started all of this off by saying, I enjoyed playing the game. The game itself is fun. It's got this kind of Mass Effect-y feel to it, like it's mm-hmm. that third-person view and, third-person view. I was like, totally tripping out and thinking about the wrong game. Yeah, see, made you double-check yourself.
Before I wrecked myself. Because, you know, when you talk bad about Defiance, the fanboys just come out of nowhere and they get you.
You see it coming.
I agree. Like, I mean...
I enjoyed it. I will go back to it. But, yeah, there definitely were some things. We had this one quest, which mm-hmm. was part of the main quest line. And it kind of seems like they just got a team of devs together that totally knew what they were doing. And they all ran through it together and went, yeah, this game is awesome. It has no bugs. Because, like... We got this quest to go to this location and kill, like, a boss-type figure.
Mm-hmm.
You had to, set off or destroy or collect, I can't remember, 5 things in the lower area. And then you went up a set of stairs, and then there was, like, a whole bunch of boxes and a whole bunch of mobs and then this one boss guy. And so I remember running up the ramp to this first area, not even doing 1 of the 5... whatever it was that we had to do, then running up to the next stairs, shooting a couple mobs, and all of a sudden the boss was dead. And then I realized that there was somebody else who wasn't in our group right ahead of us who had done everything, and we got credit for it because we were in the general area. And I was like, well, okay, but like, I didn't even see that guy before he fell over and then disappeared.
Well, you know? Remember the explosion. I was being blamed for it. And this is all in the stream, folks, so you can see it, because... Let me say, like, the stream is the best evidence that we were having a good time, because we were
That's true. We were having a good time.
If you're questioning us, then check it out. But there was a point at which the same issue, it's not instanced well enough. I think if we're a group of three, the game should treat that as, like, these three enter this area on their own and are not affected. But, yeah, like, I was, like, standing on top of the crates as if I was the king of the world, and then all of a sudden some... person comes by and sets the explosion. I'm like, wait, what? And all of a sudden there's this giant explosion. It was weird, and those were like little instances. I can't remember if that happened in the main quest though, or was that just the
side quest? That was a main quest, I think, because we were sent from the camp next to the crash site up to that, and all of this, guys, happens in the first, like, probably half hour if you were really trying to go at it. We were really goofing off for a lot of it, so yeah. Like, we were, you know, hanging out in the road and chatting to Iron Man, who then started, like, trying to punch Ryan in the face or something.
Yeah, he wasn't happy with what I was dishing out, so...
Okay, there was actually a chat. Like, I don't know if he was talking just to me or if it was, like, a general chat or something, but I found it later, and he was like... Where are all the people? I thought this was supposed to be an MMO. How are you guys? And we were totally just ignoring him and, like, running around him in circles and stuff. So that's probably why.
You don't speak English. Boing, 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 boing. As soon as you figure out you can jump, like, 8.5 feet straight up in the air.
Ridiculous.
Well, check the stream, because we were, like, just spent 10 minutes exploring the fact that we could jump that high. Yeah. It was a lot of fun. And I think it's, unfortunately, it's jump back up. Like, we bought it on sale. It was about $13, I think, when it came right down to it.
Yeah.
Is it worth the $40? It's a tough sell.
It is, only because it's... Well, I mean, it is and it isn't, because it definitely scratched my shooter itch, which is... I'm pretty picky when it comes to... What? I didn't hear what you said.
You should get that checked. Oh. Your shooter itch. That sounds like drug-related. That's not good.
Well, it does now.
Well, jeez. You just pick a... Yeah, oh, wait. What the hell? Actually, Defiance is $10 on Steam.
Oh. Well,
so
there you go.
It was 40. So, it wait was- a minute. Is it cheaper now than it was during the Steam sale?
Don't think about that, Ryan.
It's
Don't
true. It is.
Come back.
Because
come back
I bought the 4-pack, and it was 40. Try on Worlds, I'll get you.
So anyways, back to the actual game. It definitely was something that it was fun to shoot things. I was pretty good at it, which normally me, shooters, not so much, but it was really simple controls. It was like, you know, literally just point and click to shoot things. It was simple enough that you and I caught on. It was a lot of fun. I played with you guys, so obviously that makes everything more fun, is playing with your friends. So I think overall, if you have a group of people that you want to play with, it's definitely worth 10, 20, maybe even 30. I would not pay 60 for it. But again, it's because it's this whole massive idea that, you know, it's got a lot of content. It's got a very deep world. It's tied to a TV show. And then, like, all of that together means that there's a whole lot of content, and that's kind of intimidating. Because, I mean, I just hit 89 with my main in WoW. I've got a level 72 Death Knight and a level 41 Monk. Mm-hmm. So, like, I've already done a whole lot of content in there, and even then I've only just scratched the surface in WoW. And the idea of having to do all of that work in a whole nother universe, I'm just like, oh, man, like... You know, I have Elder Scrolls coming out, which is going to scratch my PvP itch, and I'm totally using that from now on, just
so
you know,
itch.
Just because you said that.
All right.
And then I've got Wildstar that's going to scratch my sci-fi itch, and it's got that funny sense of humor that I think is going to be awesome. I don't think I need an MMO. I would rather just go play Mass Effect to get my shooter itch scratched.
That makes sense. Except for all the itching. I try to avoid that. I mean, usually when stuff like that happens, you just leave it alone, let it heal. But I agree, it's interesting, and I definitely recommend playing with a group, because it's kind of bland. And if you play on your own and you don't try to get yourself involved in the story, then it kind of just sort of goes over your head, and you know, there's better games, you know? Like, Mass Effect, for one, comes up. But you cannot deny the fact how fun it is to hop on your quad and just do jumps and, like, ram bad guys and...
Absolutely. The driving was a lot of fun. It was, like, janky and horrible, and, like, I got... Well, you guys can watch the stream. Some of the comments were things like, I'm never getting in a car with Jocelyn, and, you know...
Yeah.
Like, guys... If nothing else, you don't drive a car with the arrow keys. So come on, cut me a little bit of slack.
WASDA. No, the driving is really cool, and the fact that they give you a mount straight up right off the bat is really nice. And I think the jank kind of, you know, lends to the fun factor, but it requires, you know, sort of that
it
social
It takes a while
aspect.
To get used to.
Also, we're pretty early on in the game, so the fact that we haven't seen a lot of people, that's probably due to the fact that we're, like, in the starting area still.
Well, and even then, while we were standing there waiting for you, because somebody was, like, an hour late,
yeah,
so...
Yeah, I was, because I had to occupy people for some reason. I was like, I want to play video games tonight. It's like, yeah, it's totally cool. And it's like, then there's three people in my house that we have to go bowling. So I went and did real life, and it... was dirty.
Nowhere near as fun, was it?
No.
Was it?
No. Wii bowling is much more fun. I suck at bowling, even though I won both games. Don't question that fact, though. Just trust me.
I won't. Don't worry. So, anyways, I think the whole kind of weird storyline stuff is just if we had known sooner to watch our map and try to follow along with those main quests, as opposed to you just kind of get entered into quests when you enter an area. And so, you know, you just basically trip an event by walking into or by a certain place, and it's like something pops up in the exact same spot that your main quest stuff pops up and just says, like, new objective, go do this. And so we're just like, okay, thinking it's main. And if we'd known sooner, we could have opened up the map and been like, oh, no, this is a side quest. Let's do it later. Let's focus on main story, blah, blah. So some things to watch out for, some things to get used to. But overall, like, fun experience. I think I'll probably go back to it a few more times before I give up on it completely, because I was having fun.
Yeah, I want to get a little farther with it to see what sort of other stuff it offers, because it feels like the classes are all pretty much the same and dictated by sort of the guns you have in your inventory. So, but that, again, really early and...
Well, and you and Joel are both playing sniper characters, right? And I'm playing some other kind of character. I think I'm a soldier. I have an assault rifle. Yeah.
Well, there's nothing stopping you from equipping a sniper rifle, and there's nothing that's stopping me from equipping... So that's what I mean, just...
Which is very Skyrim-y in that, like, I don't know how much, like, how you get better at each type of weapon, or if that even matters. Like, I don't know. Again, it's very convoluted, so... It's just got some holes. Got some holes, but not bad.
I'm gonna try it. I'm gonna try it again. I wanna jump back in.
Yeah. Maybe we'll stream some this weekend.
Sure.
So what else have you been playing?
I have a sad story, Jocelyn.
What have you been losing, I should say?
Animal Crossing. Sad thing happened. I was affected by the turnip market crash of late 2013. Mid-2013, I guess. It's not that late. No, so a Sunday morning, bright, bushy-tailed, got my coffee. It's not Sunday morning now, but I had my coffee. And I'm just buying turnips from this lady. I'm just giving her bells. Like, here's 200 grand, man. Just give me all the turnips you got. And I stash them in my fridge for, you know, and I check each week to see what the prices are. That Sunday, I was going to Oshawa to pick up some furniture. And Ashley's little sister was with us. And I said, hey, do you want to play Animal Crossing? And she's like, yeah, I love Animal Crossing. It's the greatest. So she's starting her character. She's having a good time. And the thing about Animal Crossing, when you start right off the bat, you get a tent, and you don't get your house until a day later. So if you play Animal Crossing, you're all probably having, like, nervous twitches now, because you know what I'm about to say. In order to get her house, she sets the DS clock ahead of day, and she goes in and gets her house, and then sets it back, and in common conversation, when we were talking about it, she had mentioned that she had done this, and I start to freak out. I'm like, what? When you can't time travel, because when you time travel, it ruins your turnips. It spoils them all. And I went in, and all, sure enough, all $200,000 worth of turnips were spoiled. I had to pay money to get rid of them. That's how serious my town takes trash. You have to pay money to get rid of them. So not only did I lose $200,000, I lost like another 10 grand getting rid of this stuff. But I said to her afterwards, like, I totally understand. I remember, like, being super busy the day it came out and, wanting that house. And all I could do, I started playing at like 8 o'clock at night. And the only thing I could do was sit in my tent, and all the shops were closed. Cause of course they operate on normal hours.
Of course.
So I was just really upset and stopped playing the game for about a good solid 4 or 5 days, and today I picked it back up, and I started slow just because I was still hurting. Just kind of rearranged my furniture.
Is it because Tom came and broke your kneecaps because you couldn't pay him for your house? He almost did.
I told him, man, I had an unfortunate turnip incident.
Got it, man. I promise, right?
Just give me two more days. And he breaks my kneecaps.
It's like, you can have two more days, but no kneecaps. Those are mine now.
You get a day for each kneecap, is what you're saying?
Yep.
That sounds so bad. But yeah, I've learned my lesson.
So given that you lost this huge amount of money that you worked so hard for.
I did.
Huge setback. Mm-hmm. The fact that you were talking about how it seems like a job now as opposed to a game. Are you still enjoying this title? Are you going to play with it all the way through until I get my fancy Zelda Black version come November?
Has that been confirmed?
They just confirmed a black one is coming out on Friday. To Canada, anyway.
Oh, I saw that. I was going to send that deal to you, but I figured you were still waiting.
No. So I think what they're going to do now that they have a black one available in Canada is that there's going to be a gold Triforce smacked onto it.
Slap a Triforce.
I really want a Triforce slapped up my DS.
I want a Triforce. No, I'm still enjoying it. Like I said, today I was like, all right, I'm going to try again here. And I didn't lose that much. About a couple days worth of like selling peaches in Scotty D's town. Because I take all my peaches, I export them. That's our main export in Murfton.
Of course.
Is peaches.
What else would you export?
Well, local fruits, beverages. I'm trying to think.
Being sarcastic.
Well, I'm being serious. Animal Crossing is very serious.
Apparently.
I had to send everybody home early.
Sound
very gamey. It's interesting. I have been enjoying it. And I spent some time doing non-job things after spending an hour picking fruit. But I rearranged my house and now I have a basement. So I've made that my server room. So I have like a server. And,
Do you mean like server like computer or server like slave?
I have a butler. No, I'm just I'm kidding. If I had a butler, I would keep him upstairs so he's closer to the kitchen. Jocelyn, come on. No, like a server, like a computer server, and I have my own side kitchen, and I have like an upstairs bedroom. So it's all starting to come together. But like, I mean, we were getting ready to settle down, have kids, and then we lost
who's
all those we? Bells
Wait,
in the turnip.
We?
Oh, Ashley and I. Ashley's playing too. But we have separate houses because it's just really religious game. I'm making all this up. I'm making it all up. But I'm having a lot of fun still. And I do highly recommend people playing it. But just don't time travel, people. Just be patient.
Time traveling is bad for the turnips.
Or at least check with your other people playing that if they have turnips, just hold off.
So even though you were logged in or she was logged in...
Mm-hmm.
As herself in her town, and she did the time traveling.
Yep.
That still affects you and your game.
That's and she set it fair. Back to the current. Like she literally just went in and hit up on the day counter, and then
right.
went, and then did her stuff, and then came back out and hit down. That still registered when I because I was kind of hopeful that like when I went in, it's like oh the time hasn't technically changed for me.
Yeah. Right.
But her house was there, and it took effect, and it's all one. Sort of huge save file, so I assume that it just kind of...
Oh, I see.
It sucks,
but... Oh, so it was still all the same save file. Okay, that kind of makes sense then.
Yeah, it's... I'll get over it.
No, you won't.
I told her, like, don't time travel. You're welcome to come over and play, but just don't time travel.
No time traveling.
Because if I'm going to buy turnips, I'm just going to be super protective of my DS. Just hold it really close to me, or I'll, like, eat my cartridge and then... That won't help anybody.
No.
And then, you know, then hopefully turnip prices will be up when I get the cartridge back.
Aww. When the cartridge is done traveling.
Yeah. I regret saying that. What have you been playing? Let's talk about Antechamber.
Oh my god, I was just going to talk about time travel because that totally seems like something that Antechamber would do to me because that game,
mm-hmm.
Oh my god, what a serious mind fuck. Sorry, but like, oh my god.
Did you say that?
We are now.
I don't think Doggos or Slash Loot would approve.
I seriously was playing this game for about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I could not stop. You are just running through all of these crazy mind-bending kind of puzzles, kind of not. Like, some of it is an actual puzzle, something you have to figure out. Some of it is just, like, totally random. Like, you're running along, and all of a sudden, oh, the floor drops out from under you because antechamber! You're just like, wait, what?
It's like a meme thing, so yeah. Something weird happens just in big white and black text, like, antechamber because...
Oh, man. Yeah, no, it's just... It's really fun. It's really simplistic. Very, very simplistic. Lots of primary colors. Mm-hmm. Most of it's black and white. I got stuck... But, oh, I totally meant to have it ready, and I forgot. But I took a screenshot of how far I'd got on the map, because every single time that you kind of run around, and you always get spat out one way or another back to the beginning. mm-hmm. then it basically tells you, oh, you didn't fail, try again. And except you totally failed. They're just trying to make you feel better about yourself and not rage quit the game. Anyways, so...
They're so nice.
It spits you back out into this, like, black and white QB room. And in front of you is a map. And this is the one really good thing, is that you don't have to constantly start at the start. If you have gone through a certain room or solved a certain puzzle, it creates like a node on the map, and you can click on that node, start there again, and keep going. So if you hit a spot, it shows on the map if there's like multiple branches, and the branch you unlocked is actually colored in. But if you, so you can see the nodes where you haven't unlocked all possible ways, mm-hmm. because there's little extra bits on the side of the node, so you know that there's a passageway that goes one way or the other. So it's fun and interesting. It's probably going to be the death of me, because I'm not the kind of person that can just walk away and not solve a puzzle like that. So it's really, really, really going to kill me, I'm pretty sure. I'm going to be one of those plays for 40 hours straight, stands up and has a heart attack stories.
Well, the trick is just don't stand
up. I'm not 30. I am 29. Oh my God. Just aged myself there for totally no reason.
Well, yeah, just don't stand up. If you're in a wheelie chair, you can just wheel around and get all your essential nutrients.
That's true.
Or, you know, you just get it, put it on your laptop, and then you wouldn't even, you could move anywhere and still play.
Oh my God, I totally could.
I dabbled in this game a while ago.
It's not that big. I could totally put it on my laptop and play. I could play on the way to work and really freak people out on the bus.
Yeah, but then if someone's like, you know, coming down on the bus and they see that, and they'll be like, man, I could have sworn I did not have that much drugs last night. Because this game is really like...
It's trippy.
It's trippy. And we don't do drugs. I mean, the game is trippy enough on its own, but... Yeah. It's an indie title. It's, you think it's beatable? Like, is it like Fez where there's like puzzles that just have not been completed or?
I don't know. I didn't Google it because I didn't want any spoilers, and it's really hard to find things. Like, I was looking for just how to take a screenshot, because when I had it, full screen, it wasn't letting me take a screenshot. The screenshots were just coming out all black. So I had to make it windowed and then take a screenshot of the window. And then, you know, so the screenshots aren't that great. But I Googled how to take a screenshot. And, of course, Google shows you the Google image search. And it says, like, screenshots of antechamber. And it's, like, stuff that I hadn't seen yet. And I was just like, oh, man. And I don't want to say anything because, obviously, you know. So there's these things you can get. Mm-hmm. That I got spoiled for me. I don't know what they do because, again, all I did was see a screenshot. But these things you can get, I haven't even seen yet. So, I mean, I've only just scratched the surface. And the one thing that the map doesn't show you is depth. So, but again, that's the kind of thing that this game messes with your mind. You'll fall way down somewhere and then all of a sudden you're back up at the top again. But you didn't actually go up at all. Like, there were no stairs, there's no elevator, you're just all of a sudden, oh, you're back at the top, because antechamber!
Yeah, this game reminds me of, like, what I've been really enjoying lately. You wouldn't be able to tell from my list of games, and maybe that's why I'm not as happy as I usually am, but I'm really enjoying, like, the smaller indie titles.
Me like, too!
Get in there and have a taste, and that taste usually ends up being a good portion of the game. Not to say all indie titles are small, I'm just saying that a lot of indie titles just...
They're very digestible.
Yes, that's the perfect word. I was going to use another word that made them sound small, so that's good. And Antechamber is another one of those. I'm trying to remember, I don't have this list, but I played Poker Night last week, was sort of like a jump in, jump out sort of experience. And just a lot of those little titles. And Steam was just rich with that stuff during the Steam sale.
So many things were between $1.50 and $5 that are all these really great titles. Like, I mean, I picked up Don't Starve, I picked up Antechamber, and actually I think Antechamber was a birthday present. I'm pretty sure it was from War Crusher. I'm sure that someone will correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that that's who I got that from. But yeah, I mean, like, I got a bunch of birthday presents. I got a bunch of things that I bought through the sale, and they were all little indie titles for a couple of bucks. And I was just like, my things that I have to play now are just so many, because, you know, like, I have all these titles now that are, like I said, digestible, that let me sit down for an hour after work and just decompress, or if, like, Antechamber give me freaking nightmares about, like, Escher stairs and stuff that wrap all around on top of themselves again, and me being all upside down and crazy.
Yeah, there's just so many titles that we have now from the Steam sale, and just, like, from all the indie games. And this weekend is just going to be jam-packed for me. I plan on trying a bunch of different titles. Boba Fetish, actually, in the chat room, had sent me Shadowrun Returns, and it's, like, kind of a mix between old-school RPG and also, like, XCOM combat, and I'm really looking forward to trying it. Supposedly it's a really cool game, but I've never played a Shadowrun game before, an old-school RPG, so probably be talking about that or streaming it at some point, because...
Mm-hmm. We should also mention that, like we said, we streamed Defiance, we streamed a run of Temple of the Jade Serpent, all of that's up on the YouTube stream. We've been streaming everything through the Gamers In Twitch account, which is just twitch.tv/thegamersin, and we've been doing that just to not mess with the AMU schedule, so if you guys are looking to watch us and hang out with us when we play games, then head on over to the Gamers In Twitch, subscribe, and you'll get a notification whenever we go live. Also, you can follow us on Twitter, either me at GIS Gamer, Ryan at R Murphy, or the show at the Gamers In, and we pretty much just tweet the crap out of whenever we're going to stream. So, and if you have a game that we're streaming and you want to come play with us, that would be freaking awesome. So we just kind of sit on Skype and chat and game, and it's a lot of fun. So you guys should definitely check out those streams. I don't know if we'll be streaming Antechamber, because it is a single-player game, and I don't know. It literally would just be me like this an hour, and that's not entertaining for anybody.
Yeah, I've been sort of experimenting with a bunch of different titles. I streamed a little bit of Metro yesterday, and... you kind of have to feel it out to see whether a game's going to be worth it. Like, something like Metro is just really quiet, and then all of a sudden will, like, build up in combat as these mutants come at you. And I think during the lull, I explained, like, 3 or 4 times that, like, these are your money bullets, and these are your dirty bullets that you fire at the enemies. And if you run out of dirty bullets, you can shoot your money bullets. And you kind of have to pick your titles. Like, usually, like, if you're going to do a single-player thing, it's got to be quirky. But you also have to have that, like, chat room, because I feel like there's a lot of silence that builds up.
Well, and that's the problem that I find is that I play everything full screen, so I can't actually see the stream or the chat room.
Oh, yeah.
So I need to figure out a way to have the chat room in front of me somehow. I do have my little laptop, so I might fire that up. You can see it over behind me there with all the frog pants stickers on it.
Yeah, I was going to say I use my laptop just to the side there, and I think having the chat room really helps, because when we... I streamed the Walking Dead DLC and had the chat room actually pick which story they wanted to hear.
Which is good when you have games like that have decisions to be made or different outcomes from different storylines based on the stuff that happens. All of that kind of stuff is really interesting, because then you can engage with the people that are watching you as well as making your own decisions, right? So all of that kind of plays in together to all of the fun stuff. But you have... Civ 5 Brave New World on your list here of stuff you played, which I bought and totally didn't remember until literally 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And I can't believe that you got to it before me. So, dude, what do you think about Civ 5?
I have the same problem with Civ 5 that I had, like, last time. It's not Gandhi this time. I made sure. I was like,
God, it's always
this. I'm quitting this game and getting a random game until Gandhi is not in. I wish there was a rule set that just said, any race but God. And this is not racist.
I think he's just kind of a jerk, because you expect him to be all passive and nice, and so you're like, oh, I'll be friends with Gandhi because Gandhi. And then he just goes, oh, yeah, I'm totally going to be your friend too until I stab you in the back with my huge army. Because he has the same sort of AI backing that most of the other ones do. You know, like, there's some different personality traits. He may hold off a little bit longer than, say, the Germans are programmed to or whatever, but they're both still going to come at you at some point. Nobody is friends for the entire duration of civilizations. Nobody.
Although I did find, and I don't know whether it was, I played literally one game over the course of, and this is the issue I have with Civ 5, where I'll start a game and I just feel the need to finish it. Like, all the time. Like, just, I started it Saturday morning and then played till Saturday night and then started again Sunday morning and then played all the way through, and I think I even played a little bit Monday into the wee hours until I finished it. I lost too, and I knew I was going to lose, but I just felt the need to finish the game. And I was doing the just like when I played through God King, New King, or whatever they called it. I wanted to try out the new features because I knew that if I probably burned myself out on Civ 5, but I was doing culture and tourism, and they've sort of added a bit more to this spy system where you can set your spies as diplomats instead of spies.
Yes, yeah.
And it was really cool, but again, like, I felt like it's been so long since I played that I didn't really know what I was doing. I was kind of doing that buckshot trend where I just, like, do all the research, build all the buildings, right, when really I should have been like, is this going to affect my culture? No. Okay, let's find something else to build. I lost, but I found that because I was going mainly culture and only having war units that were gifted to me, people were pretty nice to me.
Okay.
So I don't know whether that was just the luck of the draw or the fact that I was constantly opening my borders and trading with people. Yeah. They have overseas trade now, which is really cool.
Okay. I think probably it has to do with like, they must have made some changes, but it could definitely have to do with the whole open borders thing, because that is one thing that I never ever do, is open my borders to people. Because then, I mean, like, they just totally move their units through your land, and you never know if they're going to just, like, oh, I'm running by your city, by the way, kapow.
Yeah. You know? Well, Gandhi wasn't there, so I was...
so you felt pretty safe?
I think the way you win tourism is by influencing their all the countries.
Yeah.
And a quick way to do that is to get these bonuses. So those you get three types of bonuses that increase your influence rate by 25% each. And that's opening your borders, having an active trade with them, and a shared religion. I made the mistake of getting my religion going late. And I felt that I made the mistake of trying to create my own religion rather than just saying, hey, come on,
adopting
Islam,
one
it'll
of
be
theirs.
Great.
Yeah,
you know, because I should have just accepted, being a tourism thing, you should always accept the highest religion or whoever is the most influential.
Right, exactly. Most influential religion, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's why people were just nice to me, because we had, like, no issues. I was really nice to people, and I was Portugal. I hope they're nice. I don't know my history very well, but I was like some queen that looked really unhappy with what she was wearing. But they have the World Congress as well, which is another new feature.
Okay.
And that sort of crops up as soon as one civilization has met every single civilization in the world. And it's sort of like United Nations in the sense that you...
Which is really funny, because that used to be a really, really late game thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you couldn't build... building the UN was... Well, building the UN and then passing a motion through the UN was a victory condition.
Right.
And it was something that usually you couldn't get to tech-wise until the very late 1900s, if not sometimes the 2000s. And by the time you hit the year 2000, at least in the way Civ used to be, you had, like, 25 years or... 50 years. Can't remember if it ended in 2025, and I think now it's 2050.
Yeah.
But anyways, you had 25-ish turns, and it takes like 5 turns to do a vote, and then you have to like wait 5 turns. So if you don't have enough influence to pass whatever your motion is through the UN, then you get like 1 or 2 shots at it before, you know, that's just it. So the whole introducing the UN idea into the game earlier, I think, is very, very interesting.
It's really cool because it gives you an option to sort of support countries, and you can see like the breakdown when you look at the proposals that have been brought up. Like, oh, backing this will make everybody happy. Not backing this will make everybody not happy. And you can kind of play favorites and stuff. But also, if you have like diplomats in the capitals of your opposing teams, you can also sway their vote by going into the trade window and saying, hey, I'll give you all my lamb chops if you, you know, make my religion the dominant religion. I actually tried to get them to pass my religion as sort of the recognized dominant. It was kind of weird. Recognized dominant religion, and I was like offering them like gems and gold.
Which I'm pretty sure that's the way it went.
That's not how. That is not religious at all. That's like really bad. But I was just, you know, it's like this will really help my culture. It didn't fly because then I realized that I was only buying like one vote as opposed to all of their votes, which was weird because like I got one of their votes, but then they downvoted me like with the rest of their delegates. So it was like, what was the point?
Jerk.
I felt backstabbed. I think Gandhi was in the back. Just fuck this guy. Don't do that. I can give you more lamb chops.
Oh man, that's really funny.
But it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Again, are you playing just against AI? Are you playing against other people? Are you playing with friends?
Again, AI.
I feel like playing with friends is definitely the way to go with a lot of these titles because we should get a game on with Boba Fetish. He's in the chat room. Yeah, you. I'm talking to you.
Pretty sure there's like a year old review that was calling you out. I've never played Civ 5 multiplayer. Is it sort of like asynchronous, or do you all have to sort of be there at the same time?
You have to be there at the same time.
Okay. I was going to ask about scenarios, because that's another feature that they sort of throw in two new scenarios every expansion. Have you played these scenarios?
I've never played a scenario, but from what I understand is you start in a certain location, in a certain tech tree, or a certain civilization, and you have a goal that you have to hit in a certain number of turns, I think.
They added the Civil War one for the States, which sounds sort of interesting.
There's a whole bunch that you can download, too, because Civ 5 is one of those Steam, what do you call it?
Workshop,
thank you. I was going to say Sandbox, and I'm like, no, that's wrong. The Steam Workshop titles. So there's a lot of content there. There's like, there's a Canada scenario. There's, I'm trying to think, because I downloaded a couple of them. But yeah, you can add Canada as a civilization. There's Canadian scenarios. There's a whole bunch of different random civilizations from just like all across the world from all different time frames. And it's really, really interesting, the stuff that people have built, because I mean, they have like animated leaders. They have these big backstories and histories and special units. And I'm just like, how did you make all this stuff? Like, I mean, there's mods and then there's mods. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, I remember. I remember the Canadian one was something we were looking at when they first announced this expansion, because it would be really cool to see a Canadian sort of civilization. But screwed
again,
just like every other American pop culture thing. Canada's the first to go. I kind of just feel like I'd want to try a scenario. Like after I finished that like 3-day game, it's just like I don't know if I can play another one of those and lose.
What speed do you play on?
I just played the defaults, all the default stuff.
Oh, okay.
Should I play?
I usually play stuff on either fast or quick. I can't remember. It's not the very fastest speed, but I think there's like 5 speeds and normal's right in the middle, and I play the one faster than normal.
Oh, maybe I'll try that. Because it
usually takes me about 8 hours to finish a game, but I mean, 8 hours is better than, you know, 24, so.
Yeah, it was taking forever.
Well, it's pretty much, they've done a really good job of changing the experience, keeping the experience the same while changing the amount of time it takes to play. Basically, what they've done is it's still the same tech tree, all the same civilizations, all the same stuff happens, but like, your tech tree might take you 5 turns to research something instead of 10 turns in the normal mode. And it might take you, you know, your units have 2 movement instead of 1 or whatever. So everything still feels like the same experience. Like, even though you're playing it faster or your game will be over sooner, it still feels like the same thing.
Yeah, I'll give it another shot. I'm a completionist, so when I start a game, I feel like I need to finish it as soon as possible. I feel like I need to learn how to treat it as a sort of like a single-player campaign. Like, you're not going to play all 6 hours in a sitting. you're going to play a couple hours, maybe one, and just kind of come back and...
You can always save. You can save at any point.
I was saving.
Fantastic feature called save.
I know. It's just weird. I'm not used to these sort of games where it's like a strategy game that takes 30 days to finish. You know?
As opposed to, you know, RTSs or whatever. Like,
Everything else is pretty fast paced, you know? So.
Speaking of fast paced, you know what's pretty fast paced? Dota 2.
What?
Which I have totally been playing. It's all Joel's fault. I started playing League of Legends, when was that? Probably 3 weeks ago, a month ago. It was before Nerdtacular, anyway. Mm-hmm. I really liked League of Legends. Don't ask me why. Probably because he was on Steam, because of how much I was talking about Steam in the last couple of weeks. But he picked up Dota 2, so which is a free title, by the way. So anybody who wants to come play Dota with us, free. And it's fun. It's... Mm-hmm. This, you know, exactly the same concept as League of Legends, where you have your three different lanes and you have your mobs that go running down the lanes and they meet the other team's mobs and you all fight in the middle. And then basically, you know, best use of mob and best use of hero, because each person playing plays a hero character. And, you know, whoever's better, then eventually your mobs overpower the other team and you go and destroy their little nexus, I think. No, League of Legends is called a nexus. Anyways, so you go and basically destroy their base and then you win. And they take a long time. They take anywhere from usually 40 minutes to about an hour to complete a match. Like, it's an intense game. There's a lot to it. I found League of Legends was a lot more beginner-friendly than Dota 2, only because I've been playing the crap out of Dota 2. I think I've probably put about 6 hours into it in the last couple days. Mm-hmm. And I still don't feel comfortable playing against other people, and I still haven't had the opportunity to play against other people. Whereas League of Legends was like, okay, we're going to, you know, give you three things, the three levels that are going to teach you what to do, and then we're going to throw you in against real people, because that's the whole idea. There is no campaign. There's no real big story. The whole thing is just you... against you and like four other people against another team of five. It's 5-on-5 to cover these three lanes, and they throw you in against other people right away, so it kind of gets rid of that anxiety. It's the same sort of anxiety that I had playing against real people in StarCraft for the first time. Yeah. Is, you know, like, everyone is so good at these games that, you know, if they give you too many options of how to just play against AI, you'll just sit there and you'll play against AI and you won't ever actually get what the game experience was designed for, which is playing against other people. So, I haven't actually played against people yet in Dota 2, and I haven't had the option to. I guess, like, there's probably a way to skip the tutorial and just jump right in, but it's definitely different. But I feel like I know more about the characters in Dota 2 and which characters I like and which characters I don't, because basically you pick a character and they throw you into the middle lane and there you can't do anything else on the outside lanes and you're not playing with anybody. It's just you versus one AI. And you have to do it 10 times, each time with a different character. And so they're like, you know, about half an hour to 45 minutes to finish these matches, and it's just you versus AI learning all the abilities of a certain character. So whereas League of Legends, like I say, they teach you a ranged and a warrior type thing, and then they say, pick whoever you want from this, like, list of 150, and go. And you're just kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
So I feel like I know more about Dota, but I would like to get in and play with people sooner rather than later. And if everyone who's new to Dota 2 has to go through this tutorial, then I feel like it's really hard for me to say, hey, Ryan, come play with me. And it's just like, oh, wait, you have to play through 1,800 games before we can play together.
It's been a while, but I put some time into it, so I might be past that point. But I can't be certain. That's an interesting game. I had a lot of fun with it. I remember jumping in just to kind of experience it back when it was like early beta, when it first came out, and started sending beta invites to everybody. But now it looks like it's out of beta, right?
So, it is, yeah. It just came out, I feel like the 13th of July, so like a week ago it came out of beta. So it's now available through Steam. It's a free download, free game. It has the same idea as League of Legends, at least. Well, the thing I really liked about League of Legends was that when I played, I earned points, and I can use those points towards, you can use either real money or in-game points towards the same character. There's no character that, like, because I mean, in my first couple of games, I earned enough to buy, like, a $3 character. And $3 isn't that much, right? But at the same time, it made me feel like, okay, this isn't your typical freemium experience where, you know, you can play with these five characters unless you give us money, then you get all the really cool ones. Well, there's definitely a mix of characters and availability, and everything seems to be available for the in-game currency as well.
Well, I think Dota 2 is free to play in the sense that all characters are available to you. It's just all cosmetic stuff that you can buy.
I think so. Yeah, I'm not 100% sure, but there is in-game purchases and stuff, but the actual game is free. So, you know, like, definitely download it, take a look. Like I said, there's a whole lot of time before they start actually placing you against other people. So, if you have anxiety about playing in a PvP setting, then, you know, definitely check out Dota and see if you like that style of game, cuz for me it was a totally new experience. Before League of Legends, I'd never played a three-lane, you know, arena type game before. So it was definitely really interesting and I'm enjoying it. So
yeah, I from what I played, it felt very close to the original Dota I'd played in Warcraft 3, and it was a cool jump. I've tried LoL as well, or League of Legends, sorry, I shouldn't have said that. League of Legends, and it felt very overbearing, like just a lot to take in, right? And that's one thing that always scares me away from games. It's like, oh my god, menus and...
The store is really intimidating, trying to figure out what items you're supposed to buy and what's best for your character and stuff like that. That was really intimidating, and I, you know, usually just go with whatever's suggested on the side, which I don't think League had suggestions, but I can't remember because, again, it's been a little while since I played it, but...
Right. Well, Dota 2 is really good about introing you to, like, the item buying. I remember... I mean, someone's always going to have an opinion over you, and really, they'll say, like, oh, you shouldn't have bought the suggestion, you should buy this. It's like, mm-hmm. Oh, okay, that's fine. But really, people only get angry at you in Dota is if you're, like, feeding. Like, if you're going...
I don't know what that means.
It's, well, like, when you go into a lane, and then you're constantly dying, and every time you die, you give the other team gold and a huge chunk of experience to the guy who killed you.
Yeah.
And that... That can change the game very quickly.
Right, right.
So, but it's fun, and that might be another cool game to play and stream as a group.
Mm-hmm.
I know Paul. I was talking to Paul. He's put like 400 hours into Dota.
Holy crap!
Because he mentions like, yeah, Joss is playing Dota. And it's like, yeah, she is. And I looked at his account, and he's got like 400 hours. So if you want to talk Joss Dota,
he's not playing that much Dota.
Well, he's been playing for a couple years, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
At least that's what I'm going to say. I'm not sure.
Yeah. So do you want to just quickly touch on Remember Me before we move on? Just yay or nay for Remember Me? Was it worth the $30 purchase price in the Steam sale? Because it was 50% off in the Steam sale. So.
I think I bought it like before the Steam sale, but I got it at a decent price. It was like, I think I used all my credit I had, so it was about $40, and then I bumped it down to $20, just with some credit I had with Green Man, and $30 is too much for the experience that it gives. Like the unfortunate part is that. There's a lot of sameness to it and blandness in the sense like the traversal is sort of just like there's some climbing bits and it's really just like push up, jump, push up, jump, push up. And it's just like, it's very linear. But the story is really neat. But the animations and the characters just look like, it's funny. Like for every good thing, there's just this very there and stick out bad thing. Like for example, the best thing about the game is the environment art, just and they play up to it too, because you'll come up above a ledge and it'll just kind of like show you like the landscape and the skybox and everything, and you're like, oh, that looks amazing, and then it zooms back out to show the character and the way she moves and just runs like right to this, and I'm not an animator and I couldn't do any better, but I just feel like it feels very current gen. You know, and it feels as though, like, if they were to... I want them to do a sequel because the story is interesting. You play as a memory hunter, and you have the ability to sort of manipulate memories and steal memories, and it's sort of your job.
Oh, that sounds cool.
It's neat. And the remixes is something that people talk a lot about. It's sort of a sequence where you're inside someone's head and you're changing their memory to sort of change their tune. So, like, you could change someone's memory to think that someone was killed by another entity, and then that person gets mad at that entity, which just so happens to be the person that you're trying to kill too, and then all of a sudden they're on your side, right? So that's interesting, but there's only four of those in the game, and because they're there more for story as opposed to gameplay, yet they're the most interesting part of the gameplay.
Oh, okay.
So that's it. That's an issue, like a disconnect as well. And but yeah, no, if you can get it on sale, it's really cool, worth experiencing sort of like the environment and the story, but it's not something to throw all your bucks at. But it's neat. It's neat.
That's good.
That's all I got on
it. It looked like something I might be interested in picking up, but again, I was hoping to grab it for, you know, like $10, not. And I do realize it just came out, so yeah. I mean, clearly it wasn't. Like, I'm probably going to have to wait for the Christmas sale. But
yeah.
I thought maybe I'd get it on one of those crazy like 6-hour flash sale things or something. But
yeah, like
it just didn't happen.
You'll probably see it at 20 or 15 with the winter sale, and that's worth it for like it's only like a 6 to 7 hour game, so it's really quick, and the combat's satisfying, I guess. The story and sort of the environments are really cool. So that's the reason to play that game for sure.
All right. Well, that pretty much wraps up the show for this week, except for that we have a couple of giveaway updates for you guys. So last week we were going to give away a copy of Defiance this week for anybody who sent in a screen cap of last week's video with a really funny caption. But the video last week was so messed up, so what Ryan and I have decided is that we are going to go through last week's video, we are going to pull 2 or 3 screenshots, and we're going to post them on the site. You guys can download those screenshots and put funny captions on them. So we're going to do most of the work for you, because again, tech issues last week made the video not so hot. So instead of making you guys sort through it, we're going to sort through it for you. We're going to extend the contest for a week, and so you guys have until August 2nd to get your captions into us, and we will award a copy of Defiance to somebody next week. So no worries, you haven't missed out. If you still want to enter, there's plenty of time. Just you can send a tweet, a Facebook post, an email, whatever's easiest for you. If it's something like Twitter, it's really easy for us to reshare. And that's obviously what we want to do, because it's fun to make fun of ourselves. So that's the plan.
It is.
Especially make fun of Ryan.
Do it. I'm like, you know what? 4 years of high school, everything just bounces right off me. I can take it. but Defiance is totally worth winning. And if you're...
And then you can play with us, and we're actually pretty fun.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, like eventually we're a lot of fun, but... Takes a couple beers and a couple levels. I mean, the intro bit there is a little rocky.
It was a little sketchy.
Yeah.
But the other update we have is that our Borderlands 2 giveaway last week didn't quite work out. We had trouble contacting the winner, and so that kind of went a little bit sketchy. So what we decided to do is give it away again. So we took the other entries that we had, put them all together. We drew a name for Borderlands 2, and this is also for the season's pass, and it goes to drumroll, Ryan.
Da-da-da-da. Oh
no, it doesn't go to Ryan.
No, I don't want it. I already have it.
Ryan is going to announce the name.
Yes,
right?
Goes to Eric Voldair.
Yay!
So congratulations. I want to play Borderlands 2 soon, Eric. So let's come on, install
so
it.
So come
let's
on,
go.
What's your problem? Hurry up and install that.
Friend me. I'll send you the season pass.
So yeah, we're going to send all that kind of stuff over to him and hopefully get into Borderlands 2 sooner rather than later. So I'm super pumped. I'm glad that we're able to actually give it away, hopefully. Cross your fingers.
We know Eric, right?
Yes, we do. Yeah.
We've contacted him on Twitter.
He's been tweeting the crap out of us. So yeah, we definitely know who he is, and he should be easy to contact. So I'm very excited.
Awesome.
But yeah, so I think that pretty much wraps up the show for this week. Remember the Defiance giveaway. Get your screen or caption the screenshots that we're going to post. And also the Tomb Raider giveaway. Don't forget to go to /loot.com, pick up a Gamers Inn t-shirt before August 7th. And we will give away a copy of Tomb Raider on August 9th to all those people who buy the Fantabulous Gamers In t-shirts. So you can visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com or email the show at info@gamersinpodcast.com. You can find us on Amove TV along with other fabulous podcasts, including StarCast, Campaign Roundtable, Biggest Fan, and This Week in Blizz. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GISGamer. Ryan is at R. Murphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. You can also find us on Facebook and Google+. Before we go, I just want to give a quick shout-out and thank you to Greg Moffitt for creating our awesome music. You can find him on Twitter at SoundsInfluence. We'd also like to thank Joel Duggan, who does all of our graphic work. You can find him and everything he does at joelduggan.com. So thanks for staying at The Gamers Inn, and remember to tune in next week. Bye!
Bye, everybody.
Wait, I gotta make sure that they fit. Okay, yeah, they totally fit. Alright.
Are they glasses of some kind?
Maybe.